This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello, and welcome to episode 191 of the USEA's official podcast. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, we're going to be hearing from two of the 2018 Gold Cup Series qualifier winners, Colleen Rutledge, who won Richland Park CIC 3-star, and Sabrina Glazer, who won the Aspen Farms Advanced. But first, we would like to congratulate Alison Thomas, who won the USEA's Volunteer of the Month, which is presented by Athletics. If you compete in Florida at all, you will know Alison for her volunteering spirit. She's been volunteering now most of her life. It's been in her blood, and she's clocked up more hours than most at venues across the state. It's something she's extremely passionate about, and it's always been her goal to combine her passion for horses and her passion for volunteering. So congratulations again to Alison for winning the September Volunteer of the Month award. And the USEA is now accepting nominations for the 2017 USEA Appreciation Awards. This is an opportunity for the sport to recognise those horses and riders who have excelled in eventing throughout the year and honour the very important people who have served the sport tirelessly, both in a non-riding capacity and riding capacity, during their golden years. So if you know of someone who's deserving of one of these awards, you can submit your nomination for consideration to the chairman of the USEA Appreciation Awards Committee, that's Kathy Forsberg. And the deadline for nominations is Friday, October the 20th. Find more information on the website at useventing.com. Well, joining me now is Sabrina Glazer, who's over in British Columbia, Langley, British Columbia. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're going to talk about your recent win, of course, that Gold Cup qualifier at Aspen Farms with Rembrandt. Let's start with the partnership that you have with this horse, how it all came about, Sabrina.
So he's nine now, and I have a very good client that's turned into one of my dearest friends, Patricia Youst, Patty Youst, and her husband, Jeff Pop. And Patty is a great friend and came to me with this wild idea that there's this auction up in Canada and what a fun thing to spend a weekend going to this auction and seeing what they have. And it was a breeder that was getting out of, I think he wasn't doing well health-wise and was clearing out his whole stock and selling the property and everything. And so they were auctioning off everything So I took a look online of what was going to be running through the auction, and everything was warm bloods except for this one really gawky looking big bay, and that was Rembrandt, but he was known as Giorgio, and he was the oddest looking horse I'm sure in the auction, but he was the only one that was predominantly thoroughbred, so he was the only one out of the thoroughbred dam, and. As we're eventers, that thoroughbred blood is still pretty important. And there was a free jumping video, and he had super form free jumping, and a big gallop. And so I thought, oh, it's worth going to look at and see what happens. And so her friend Sarah and another client of mine, Sarah Singleton, and Patty and I went up to this auction and go through, it was a long barn of horses on either side. There must have been at least 50 horses. And most of them were quite shy. And they were youngsters, so, you know, yearlings, two-year-olds. And then I'm not sure if he was the only three-year-old or there were very few three-year-olds. But they were all kind of cowering in the corners of their stall. And he was the only one that didn't matter who came by. He was at the front of his stall saying kind of, hi, how's it going? And just curious. And I loved that attitude right from the get-go. And kind of an old horseman was standing there and commenting on how well built he was. And I'm looking at his top line thinking, oh my goodness, you're as downhill as they come. But I was hopeful that maybe with age he's going to come up a little bit. His neck wasn't set on quite right. But he had super, super front legs and good feet and just kind of a big, powerful build and just this genuine eye. And so we looked at the rest and then we came back and they started herding the mares and foals into the end of the barn with ATVs. And the horses, the rest of the horses in the barn were all really upset about it. And he's got his head out the stall, curious and wanting to see all the action. And so right away I kind of went, okay, I think we need to see what'll happen with this one. And so Patty was supportive enough and wild enough to go along with it and let me keep putting my hand up and keep bidding for him. And so the end of it is we packed him up in the trailer and he was barely halter broke when we got him. So getting him into the trailer was interesting. We just kind of had to herd him into the trailer. And then I spent, he stayed at my, so Patty's actually an American but just south of the border. And I'm just north of the border. And so it's been always really easy for us to connect. But he stayed at my farm, my training facility in Langley. And I just did some groundwork with him for a couple months before he got turned out. Patty has a beautiful facility. And so he got turned out in the fields, then over the winter. And then I started working with him again in the spring as a 4-year-old. And he was always really, really cinchy, really cold backed. If you changed the material of the saddle pad, he would buck like a bronco. And so I spent way more time doing groundwork with him than I have with any other youngster. And finally I thought, okay, you know, at some point I just have to bite the bullet and hop on. And so I'd spent some time breaking thoroughbreds as racehorses. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll do it like the thoroughbreds and I'll get on him in the stalls and then he can't take off bucking with me. And he seemed quite comfortable with that. And so after a couple of days of kind of kicking around in the stall, I thought, all right, let's venture out to the arena. And within seconds of sitting on him, I was getting launched through the air. He started bucking so hard that my rein actually broke trying to get his head up. And so then at that point, I was still holding on and just kind of grabbing the pommel of the saddle. And then he rounded his back so much that the saddle went over his withers and kind of sandwiched between his front legs and his neck. And at that point, I put my arms out and Supermaned out. So that was my first official ride on Rembrandt.
Well, that certainly was memorable. And you've had quite the form with him. He's been a very consistent horse, hasn't he? You started him off, as you said, in the early days there in Novice Back 1, 2014. So you've had a few years to cement that partnership, and it's been very consistent. You've had top placings now consistently since then. What do you put that form down to, Sabrina?
I think several things. I mean, for me, I love developing that partnership and bringing horses up through the ranks and really getting to know them and what makes them tick. But I think that consistency, it helps when they have a good mind, and he has a really, really fabulous temperament. He is, you don't see it in him, but he's far more the thoroughbred. He has that sensitivity of the thoroughbred. But he's just settled enough that you can kind of push on him and ask a little bit more. And then I think really over the years, I mean, he's been consistent, but he hasn't been, you know, he hasn't been the horse that comes out after dressage and he's in the lead after dressage. He's generally up there, and just being consistent in all three phases. You know, we're close enough at the beginning that we can often finish up front. And that, you know, that's fun. I'd love to see our flat work get that much more competitive. And I think he's a solid enough character that I'll be able to, maybe with another year or so, bring it up that extra bit to make it that much more competitive on kind of more of the international scene. Cause I think, you know, right now, as far as being consistent and competitive, it's been fairly local, right? It's been that West Coast. We haven't competed against the big guys back East and certainly obviously nothing in Europe yet. So, you know, I think that'll be telltale as we start to get into deeper fields of horses. But right now I just want to give him that time and really make him confident, And he loses his confidence. He can lose his confidence quite quickly, even in this flat work. So I have to be very careful to kind of nurture his sensitive flower side. But I think that's coming.
How old is he now, Sabrina?
He's 9 this year.
Okay, so he's just really, obviously you're building those blocks up now ready for, you know, the big time and you know, moving up to 3-star. That win was, of course, in the advanced in Aspen in September. Let's talk about what he will do then for the rest of the season.
Well, we just actually finished off the season. We just came back late last night from the Woodside CIC 3-star, and I haven't competed at that level in 5 years. So, I mean, I'm green at this level too. You know, my experience is more bringing them up to prelim intermediate, and I've done that numerous times. So, my feeling going down was if I get a really good feeling from this weekend, we'll potentially aim for the CCI 3-star at Galway. I believe that I need the two CCI 3-stars to run Rolex. Doing Galway gives us a spare, I guess. If they all go well, we have a spare, but it gives us a little bit of a cushion. And as much as he went well down there, to me, just knowing him, he ran around clear cross country, but I could just feel in certain sections where he just got a little bit green. He wasn't quite as bold as I'd like him to be moving up to a 3-star. And so, again, I think he just needs a little bit more time to get comfortable with that. And so I've decided to end the season with Woodside. It was a positive end for the season. And then come out in California in the spring and try and catch another two CICs. And then potentially take him back east.
And what would that look like then, Sabrina? You know, how do you rate this horse? Where do you think his future is?
You know, he's always surprised me. I mean, he was built quite downhill. You don't look at him and think, wow, there's this striking advanced horse. And he doesn't go around the cross country. He never has attacking fences. My previous kind of upper level horses have come out of the box just attacking things. And I mean, he goes around with the weight of the reins in my hand. He's a very, very easy ride cross country. And I'm not sure if that's going to change, if it needs to change. I mean, he answers every question. He goes around easily. When I ask him, he actually makes the time really quite easily. He can really open up and have a very efficient gallop. Because he is so rideable and listens so well. You know, I don't lose a lot of time on setup. He jumping the fences out at Woodside. I mean, there wasn't a fence on course there that rattled him or that was too big or, you know, but when they come, I think, you know, the next test is going to be doing a CCI and seeing, you know, when those questions come faster and harder, how does his confidence fare? You know, if he has a bit of a scrappy question early on in course, does he kind of pull out of that and come back stronger or does he start to back off more? So I'm really unsure. You know, every level I've done with him, I've told his owner, well, you know, I think we're going to move him up. I'm not quite sure how it's going to go, but you know, he seems to be doing this level easily. So let's try it. And then we move him up and he canters around and does it. And so I think he's just going to be one of those that, I mean, it's starting to surprise me less and less that he's doing it easily and doing it well. But I'm really unsure of how the future looks and how far he'll go. And that's also because I don't have the experience to judge, you know, what's a 4-star horse and what isn't, what's a 3-star horse and what isn't. I mean, the highest that I've done is CIC 3-stars. So I think it's just going to be uncharted territory for both of us.
Who do you have to coach you over there then, Sabrina?
I tend to work with several different people, but my mom is probably my most consistent kind of eyes on the ground. She has a great depth of knowledge from her background and her years in horses. And then I've started working a little bit more consistently on the flat with Leslie Reed. And just to try and get a little bit more help, kind of bringing him up On the flat, on the over fences, I'm still looking for somebody that to help me. You know, I have some eyes on the ground here and there, but really working with somebody consistent, I haven't found anybody yet, or I haven't done that yet. My mom has been really the most consistent coach for me.
And how many horses do you have currently at the moment in work then, Sabrina, or for next season?
Well, I've got my three kind of more upper level horses. So I've got two intermediate mares, and then Rembrandt, and then I have a prelim horse and a training level horse. And then I have a 4-year-old coming up that hasn't competed yet. So that's kind of my string of horses coming up. But my one intermediate mare is, I think we're going to give her a gap year and breed her in the spring. We tried breeding her a year ago and she reabsorbed. And so we want to try again. I brought her up to CIC 2-star level this year and she did really well. She's a cute little Irish mare. But before she gets, you know, gets up there, I want to try and breed her early. I think she's going to sit out next year and she's actually my mom's horse. And so my mom will just keep her going and we'll do maybe some jumper shows and things like that just to keep her fit and going. But see if we can get a nice foal out of her. We had a breeding to a lovely local stallion here that a friend of mine owns named Connoisseur. And so hopefully we can still get her bred to that, bred to him. And then I have actually a little Welsh sport horse that's actually a full sibling to another 4-star horse that I've got. So that's my other intermediate mare. And we'll see. She got a cough this year that lasted quite a while. It lasted almost 3 months. And so I'm not sure. We've done all sorts of tests and everything we can think of, and we never really got any definitive answers. And so I'm not sure if she's going to come back or not. She's going to be 15 next year, so it might just be time to kind of focus on the young ones and start bringing the young ones up. I've got a lovely 6-year-old Welsh sport horse as well, typical trainer's horse. He got left to the end, and so he's a little bit greener at 6 than he should be, but he's a real genuine sort and really quite solid in all three phases. He's bold and brave and he's a good mover, and he's got a, you know, super brain. You can really kind of put the pressure to him in the flat, and he wants to be careful over fences, and so he's one I'm quite excited about in the future. But he hasn't quite learned to gallop yet, so he needs a little bit of work over the winter, and then he'll probably come down with me to California and see what he's got. But they're all, so that the Welsh sport horse line, they're all similar breeding to, they're all from the same sire of Lisa Ferguson's horses. And I ride for the breeder, or I have in the past years. I've gotten a bit busy now, but they're really a really fun type of horse. They you know, they look a bit more like the warm blood. They can all jump. They're all fabulous jumpers, but they really have that kind of Irish type of feel where they want to go and they want to work, and they're quite independent, and it makes them quite a fun mix for the sport.
Absolutely. Good stock there. Well, lots to look forward to, Sabrina. And again, congratulations on your win there at Aspen Farms in the Gold Cup qualifier, and the very best of luck for the season ahead. And I appreciate you taking the time to come on the program.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
And our next guest also won a 2018 Gold Cup Series qualifier. Colleen Rutledge continued her great form with Rembrandt by winning the CIC 3-star at Richland Park. Colleen, welcome back to the program.
Hello, it's great to be back.
You are on some form, aren't you? I mean, having won the Richland Park CIC 3-star there, which of course was 2018 Gold Cup Series qualifier for you, and then you went on to Morven and won again. But let's talk about Richland first of all, and the kind of form you had, Colleen, with this horse coming into Richland with the covered rights.
Richland was spectacular. You know, it's such a great venue, or it was such a great venue now that it's ceasing to exist. But it was his first three-star back up at the level from, you know, our previous runs, because we were taking our time making sure that we had rehabbed everything properly. And he came out of the box absolutely raring to go in all three phases. And, you know, it's always such a great feeling when they feel so good and they're so happy to be doing their job again, that it just makes it feel that much better.
Well, talk about that comeback then, because you've had quite a career with this horse. You've had him a while, haven't you? You've had him since he was, what, 4 year old, or was it before then? When did you first partner with him?
I bred him. So I've had him since he hit the ground, and his mother was my first advanced horse. So I have a very long history with this horse. He's a member of the family, you know, and we like to joke that my mother would be more likely to give me away than she would be to allow me to give him away. So he's fairly well cemented in the family. He's a delight across the board. You know, he's definitely got his quirks and he's definitely got his little foibles that he likes to do. But across the board, he is genuinely one of the nicest horses to deal with in all aspects. So, you know, it's incredibly gratifying to have him come out of the box and deliver one of his best dressage tests to date, and to know that there's room for improvement, that wasn't just simply the best he can do ever, that there's absolutely room for improvement. And, you know, it's figuring out how to maximize that and how to capitalize that. So
what do you put that personal best dressage test with him down to then, Colleen?
Honestly, you know, it's I'm happy with how he goes. I'm happy with how he feels. And I think for that, we managed to hit for what the judges were looking for that day. You know, I went to go in and ride as accurately as I could, working on the things that I needed to work on. And we, you know, he's already a fantastic mover, and he's already just one of the most trainable and rideable horses that I have. And that, you know, that in itself makes him that much better. You know, and I think pretty much it just boils down to we hit with what they were looking for. So it wasn't that I had this magic formula and, you know, he's already a nice horse. So, you know, I think we were more lucky than, you know, skillful, I think, at that point. It's just, I'm lucky to have such a great horse under me.
Let's just rewind a little bit through his career, Colleen, because you've done Burley with him, haven't you? And you've been to Aachen, and you've done Rolex as well in the past. And then you had a bit of a setback. Let's talk about that, what happened last year and coming back this year. Just talk us through that.
So he had a fantastic year in 2015, and we did his first Rolex, and he cantered around it like it was a pony club track, and I couldn't have been more shocked. I truly expected to have to pull up on him halfway around and be like, okay, we've obviously overfaced him. And he came through the finish flags like, yeah, that was great. Can we do this again? So we went overseas. You know, our main focus was Burley, but at the last moment, we got a slot to be able to go to Aachen, and I jumped on it. And hindsight is 2020, and having traveled all the way across and then traveled to England and then traveled back for Aachen, you know, he was a lot more tired than any of us had expected. So Aachen was less than successful for us. It's the first time I've ever fallen off in competition from him, and not our best setup leading into Burley, because I fell at the water. And so when we got to Burley and there were three water jumps in the first seven fences, poor little CR's eyes were bugging out of his head. And the only reason he jumped around Burley clean is because I asked him to. But by the end of the course, I had a horse who was absolutely on fire and knew his job and was back. So, you know, as it wasn't a result that I wanted, but it was a result that I was pleased with because he made such a dramatic change in his attitude across, you know, the 12 minutes on the course. And then 2016, he came out of the box absolutely on fire. You know, it was, he felt fabulous coming out. He was fantastic. And then we got to Rolex, and the week before Rolex, he felt a tiny bit hinky, and I chalked it up to foot sore because he never told me that he really was hurting. And so by the time we got to Rolex, he was, you know, still a little bit foot sore. And at that point, you know, we were actually there, and we decided we couldn't ask him to do more because he was obviously more hurt than he was telling us. So we pulled him from that and kind of went through to figure out what was going on and just began to rehab and, you know, gave him the time to heal, gave him the time to figure out what he needed to do, and spent our time then just really and truly going back through all of his body and figuring out, okay, well, you know, we're not on high speed right now. Let's figure out where all the rest of the holes are and where he could use some help and where he needs maintenance. And, you know, and I think that all of those things, being able to take a step back and being able to look at him with a fresh set of eyes and from a fresh point of view is really part of what contributed to him being able to come out of the box with such a much lower score at Richland, is that we went back through and filled in all the holes that, you know, may have been developing or that just weren't addressed in the first place.
Well, it certainly paid off as well. And, you know, you must have him obviously very sound, very fit right now. He's, what, 11 years old now, is he, Colleen? So he's just coming to his prime, is he?
Yes.
But you said he's capable of much more. So if you look at Richland in the context of his career, then what does that win mean to you there?
You know, I am so thrilled with Richland because I managed to not be a complete retard in all aspects, which that is his only limiting factor, is how big of a retard I can be. So, you know, and it was such a delight because of our partnership, and he was so happy to be doing his job again. But in the context, in the bigger context of him, the fact that he's got so much more in the dressage and he finds jumping, he is probably one of the best cross-country horses, just because his answer is always, yeah, let's try. And, you know, that willingness and the fact that he loves it, just, it makes his cross country so much fun. I mean, there's a lot of times where on him, I've got a grin on my face because it's just fun. And, you know, he's an amazing dressage horse. He could go do straight dressage if he chose not to do this job anymore. And it's just, he's fun. I mean, that's the only way I can boil it down, is it's just fun.
Great partnership, obviously, Colleen. But then you went to Plantation Field, what, some 3 weeks later. What happened there then? Because you reversed the form and you brought it back again for Morven Park with another win there.
So I went into Plantation with a bit too much ego, and it firmly bit me in the butt, and I got a delightful swift kick, you know, from the Karma Fairy that said, you're an idiot. But, you know, part of that is horses are humbling. His dressage, he did everything I asked him to do in dressage. I did not take into account what those dressage judges were looking for, because every dressage judge, while we want to say that they're all looking for the same thing, every dressage judge has a slightly different view on what things should look like. That's why dressage is subjective. And I had a beautiful fluid forward-moving test that, on my comments, Red needs more engagement. So I had kicked him two forward. So really and truly, he did everything I asked him to do. I can't be mad at him. And in show jumping, he's never done that to me. He got in the ring and got very panicky, and I've never had him get panicky on me. So I went back and watched video, much to my dismay, and instead of leaving him alone to do his job, I tried to help. And every time something went wrong, I tried to help more. And I have learned in the past that the less I help, the better he is. So that was a very expensive reminder that I need to leave him alone. And I try very hard to leave him alone. And it's incredibly hard for a control freak to leave somebody alone.
And then coming back to Morven Park, obviously you found the form. You got the lessons that you'd learned from Plantation Fields. You took those with you to Morven Park and found some form again. So what does this mean to him now? We're in October. What's left for him for 2017?
So we are heading to Fair Hill actually this week coming up. And hopefully I can remain doing the lessons that I learned, you know, over these past few of leaving him alone and allowing him to do his job, because I've done my job and I've taught him what to do. So now I need to leave him alone to do his job. And hopefully he's feeling, you know, he's feeling like he did it at Richland and he comes out of the box raring to do his job. So the biggest thing for us at Fair Hill will be tempering a little bit of the atmosphere in the ring, especially for dressage, just simply because it's always an electric feel in that ring. And it's why we go there. You know, it adds just that little bit. And for those horses that can deal with the atmosphere, it pumps them up and it gives you a more dynamic test. And for those that can't handle it, it detracts from it. So hopefully we can show that we can handle it, and hopefully we can reproduce, you know, our ride from Richland.
If I ask you now, and I ask you again after Fair Hill, your answer may be different. But at this point in his career then, Colleen, are you looking to the spring of 2018 and have a plan for that year?
I am a consummate planner. Everything gets answered as to how he comes out of his last competition. So Fair Hill will definitely answer a bunch of questions. But I have a tendency to plan, you know, plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. I will occasionally get into double letters because I like to know, and I like to have an idea of what I need to work on in order to get in places. And, you know, plans can always be thrown aside when things go wrong. So, you know, I definitely have a thought process about the spring, and hopefully if everything goes accordingly and he's feeling good, I'm crossing my fingers that we can go to badminton in the spring, because I think he would be an amazing badminton horse. I think that course would suit him right down to his toes, because he's such a big, bold, rideable horse. And, I'm excited that that's a possibility, but, you know, in the back of my mind, I also have to remember that we still have a competition to get through, and we have to see how he gets through that.
Absolutely. Of course, that's coming up very quickly here, Fair Hill International. So we want to wish you the very best of luck with that, Colleen, and future plans with this horse. But again, congratulations on your win at Richland and getting that qualifier for the Gold Cup for next year under your belt. I'm sure that was very satisfying.
It was. It's every competition for me that I have with him again is, you know, it's always gravy. Like, I can't be upset. But having him respond and having him have that type of form, you know, really, it's the cherry on top of the sundae. So, you know, I'm just having fun at this point.
Well, hopefully the cherry stays on top of the sundae for you for the rest of the season.
Appreciate it.
And thanks again for taking the time coming on the program, Colleen. The very best of luck.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
And that is our show for this week, except to remind you that registration is open for the USEA's 2017 annual meeting and convention, which this year will take place in Long Beach, California, from December the 6th through the 10th at Westin Long Beach Hotel. And you can find more information about that on the website and how to register. Just look for the convention logo on the right-hand side of the homepage. And if you're a new listener to this podcast, you can download it from the iTunes podcast store to any mobile device. Just look for USEA in the podcast store. Don't forget to follow us on social media for regular updates and news, and also to find out when the next episode of this podcast is posted. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.